He's Hacker.
Talk about a fried egg. I lasted about 5 minutes out there. I said, to heck with this. I'll do this in the morning. And I don't have any inside information. The lady that did it, she got in there.
I mean,
she made it happen.
And he doesn't shy away from opinion.
And I do enjoy drinking cold beer at ballparks. So if that makes me a baseball fan, then I'm a diehard baseball fan.
It's Hacker After Dark on 1010XL.
And a very good Friday evening to you, Jacksonville. It is Hacker After Dark, an NFL draft version of Hacker After Dark with Dylan Denmark and the head coach, Dave Campo. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Round two of the NFL draft ongoing. If the Jaguars do not make any trades, they should be making their second round selection, in the next 20 minutes or so. A lot of trades have already gone down in round number two. We'll certainly update you on everything, and we certainly need to discuss Brian Thomas, the Jaguars' first-round pick from one night ago. In fact, we're going to go out to the state of Louisiana later on here on Hacker After Dark. Head coach Chad Mahaffey was the head coach for Brian Thomas at his high school for his junior and senior year, so we'll talk to a man that coached Brian Thomas at the age of 17 and 18 years old, Chad Mahaffey. That comes up later on here on Hacker After Dark. But let me welcome in the head coach, Dave Campo. Coach, how are we doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm excited because this is really the start of the season for me, you know, because now you got the OTAs and you got those things and you kind of have a roster put together. So it's fun to be around the draft, and I'm excited to be here tonight to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, look, a lot of DBs have come off the board in the last few minutes. Cooper DeJean of Iowa to Philadelphia, Kool-Aid McKinstry of Alabama. There was some thought by Jaguar fans hoping he would fall to 48. Well, he got to 41, and the New Orleans Saints have drafted him. So corners are becoming somewhat scarce. I'm very curious, does Jacksonville try to make a move? Are they going to stand pat at 48 and take a corner? Or maybe corner is a much bigger need in our minds than it is down there in that building.
And that's the thing, that, you know, why you can't do mock drafts and all that stuff. You can attempt to do it, but in reality, nobody really knows what goes on in that building. You know, you don't know what they have, how they have guys graded. They may have a couple corners in the third round that they like as much as the second round. They may go for offensive linemen. There's a couple more guys. Paul from Houston. There's a couple guys. Sumatala from BYU. A couple tackles that could play inside. Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I would have thought, as we talked about off air, that if they were going to move up, they were going to get a corner, they probably knew they had to move up, and they're not doing it.
They would have probably done it by now, no question about it. All right. Before we really break down round two, let's go back one night ago. Brian Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU, did not take him at 17, ended up trading back to 23 and selecting Brian Thomas. And in doing so, they picked up a third rounder next year, a fourth rounder next year, an additional fifth rounder this year. I thought it was great value. Your thoughts not only on the trade back, Coach, but Brian Thomas as the selection.
Well, first of all, I think, I believe the Jimmy Johnson way of doing things, since that he was kind of my mentor. Get as many picks as you can to give yourself a chance to move around a little bit and to get the player that you want. And in that case, that was great value, because I do believe that they had slotted that if they had to stick at 17, that's the guy they would have taken. And so, you know, to me, they have a group of guys, and there were still guys on the board, the two corners, the Turner, the pass rusher, Fatanu. So I think they had a group of guys, and they felt that if they did move back to 23, they were going to get one of those guys, and they probably liked them all and had them fairly graded close. So that's a great situation. Now, as far as the pick is concerned, he's a good player. The one thing they don't have, and especially losing Ridley, and I don't know that Ridley's fast as this guy. I mean, this guy's a 4.3 40. I mean, that's a guy that can move, and his flying 20, which is a new one to me, but it's pretty good. The second 20 of the 40, he was the best at the combine. So, I really like this pick. I think I went in saying I wish they would take an offensive lineman because I felt that they needed to protect the franchise quarterback and that he was extremely important. But when you have a choice between offense and defense, you take the guy that can help you score points. And I've always felt that way, and this guy has a chance to do that.
You look at the offense right now. I mean, you got Evan Engram coming off a 100-catch season. Travis Etienne, we know how explosive he is. Gabe Davis has never caught fewer than 6 touchdowns in a season during his 4-year career. You got Christian Kirk, 1,000-yard player the last time he was healthy. Now you got a guy in college in Brian Thomas who led the country in touchdowns last year. We still don't know about Zay Jones, right? That's the mystery. And then you got the young guys, Parker Washington, Brenton Strange, Tank Bigsby. I mean, on paper, it appears this offense, skill position-wise, even with Ridley's departure, is better now than they were when the season ended.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, I think that, you know, that addition of big play guys, you know, this kid, Thomas, had 17 touchdowns, most in the NCAA. You know what it's like to score 17 touchdowns?
A lot of touchdowns.
That's unbelievable. And then I watched a couple of games on him, and he made some catches where contested catches. So to me, it looks like this guy has got a chance to be a number one. And, you know, again, I don't know what a number one is. I think a number one is somebody that everybody has to pay attention to. And I think before long, they're going to have to pay attention to this guy because of his speed.
The Texans have gone Lassiter from Georgia. So there is a DB just avalanche right now before right. The Jaguars pick. The only guys that are left that have been talked about as second rounders, Rakestraw from Missouri, Renardo Green from Florida State. Some people love him, but I haven't seen him as high as 48. Now, again, that doesn't mean anything. I'm just talking about in mock drafts.
Right.
Max Melton, I guess, is another one from Rutgers that people talk about. But there is no question. We've had DeJean, McKinstry, and Lassiter go off the board in the last 5 picks.
Well, I think Tampa will be the next guy.
Tampa's another one, yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be the next guy. So they're either waiting for him or I think they're going to go in another direction.
You know, last night the board for the Jaguars fell perfectly. Yes. I mean, you're a defensive guy.
Yep.
People refer to you as the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and that's how people know you. But every other year except those 3 where you were the head coach, you've had something to do with the defense, coordinator, DB coach, et cetera. 14 offensive guys in a row last night. What was your thought on that?
Well, you know, I think that that's a trend. I mean, you know, I think people like offense. You know, you keep people in the stands by scoring touchdowns, not stopping touchdowns until you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you got to have a defense somewhere along the line there. But to me, you know, I think it's a dual prod. What do you got?
Max Melton to Arizona. I mean, we've had 5 DBs go in the last 7 picks.
That's what happens. They go in streaks.
Yeah. So, I mean, but continue your thought.
Yeah. It's, first of all, there were 14, but it's also a product of a bunch of quarterbacks going. You know, there's never been one that 6 quarterbacks were taken that quick. 6 of the first 12. And quarterbacks are being overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what pushed everybody down a little bit, and it couldn't have been any better for us for that first pick.
Let me ask you, obviously this will be 90% Jaguars tonight. Again, they're going to be making a pick here in the next 15 to 20 minutes if they stay at 48. The Michael Penix thing is getting annihilated by most people today. Decades of experience for you in the NFL. Atlanta to pay Kirk Cousins what they did 2 months ago. And then to use a top 10 pick on a quarterback, what did you make of that?
Well, I think – I don't know that that was a smart move. I mean, you know, if you felt that there was any question on whether or not Kirk was healthy or, you know, how long he could go, then you might do that. The only positive to it, it could turn out to be the best thing they ever did. That's the thing that people don't understand, because when I say the quarterbacks are overdrafted, it's because – nobody's patient anymore. You know, head coaches are getting fired after 1 and 2 years because of the fact that people don't want to wait. The owner doesn't want to wait. The head coach doesn't want to wait. The coach is counting on keeping his job, so he wants somebody that's going to ready made. You definitely need that quarterback. So what's happening is anybody that they feel shows any signs of being a possible franchise guy, they're going to take a shot at him because look at Zach Wilson. They fired him after 2 years. They're going to go get somebody else. That's how it's working in the league now. And the situation that's there right now is that look at Love, the kid at Green Bay. In the old days, people sat behind the starting quarterback for 2 or 3 years, and when they came in, they were professionally ready. Mm-hmm. Today, they expect you to go right in. Love goes to Green Bay behind Rodgers, and now all of a sudden, nobody thought that Love was going to be anything. All of a sudden, he comes out. He's professionally ready, and they have a great year. It might be that Kirk Cousins is there for 2 or 3 years, and Michael Penix is professionally ready to take over that job, and you might have your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years.
I had a buddy of mine who I was watching the draft with last night saying the only explanation logically is Atlanta knows they're going to be docked a first-round pick for that tampering thing. Because remember, the NFL hasn't ruled on that. And if they think they're being docked a first-round pick next year, that's why you take Penix in the top 10.
Hey, and that's another reason. I wasn't aware of that. But that's another reason to make that pick because – there's no guarantee that Kirk is going to go all the way through his contract.
Back into the Jaguars and what's going on in round number two. Our old friend Jackson Powers Johnson has just gone to the Raiders with the 12th pick in the second round. So we are, let's see, 13, 14. I think we're three picks away from the Jaguars. It goes Green Bay, Carolina, and the Giants, I believe. I think we've had six trades in the first 12 picks. Yeah.
The second round's where you get the majority of them because, you know, guys that – you've heard me say this before, Hack. A lot of teams only have maybe 16 to 20 guys that have true first-round grades on the board, right? So I've always said basically between number 20 and number 50, they're almost the same guy from a grade. Mm-hmm. It's positions. You know, there might be different positions, but the grades, you're really getting the same guy at whatever position that you're talking. So when you go to the second round, you have a pretty good idea what other teams are going to do with their second round pick because you've seen what they've done in the first round picks, and now you have a better idea what their need might be and go to that. So everybody is ready to jump up there. We always loved having whenever you had a early second-round pick, that was like a first-round pick to us.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get a bunch of trades because those guys in there are pretty darn close to those guys that were picked at number 29, 28, 27. They're being picked at 34, 35, 36. So the guys move up there. Well, when that happens, it pushes everybody back again. And now guys start coming up because there's guys that they didn't think were going to be there that are now there because guys are being pushed back up.
He is the head coach, Dave Campo. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M, goes to Green Bay. So now the Jaguars are two picks away. Carolina is on the clock right now, then the New York Giants, and then Jacksonville. So let's think about this. They're obviously not going wide receiver. They addressed that with Brian Thomas last night. Corner, yes, but there have been a massive amount of corners taken in the last 10 picks. Could they go Rakestraw from Missouri? Could they go Renardo Green of Florida State? There's the Michigan corner that people seem to like as well. Maybe you're of the thinking potentially offensive line. There's a lot of good interior offensive linemen left. And I go back to the D-line, you know, whether it's the edge or the interior. I love Armstead, but after Armstead, Devon Hamilton, I mean, what do you really have? You got, you know, Tyler Lacy, who you're hoping can contribute. There's not a lot of bodies on the interior defensive line or outside at the edge behind Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen. So to me, Coach, I think it's going to be a defensive player, either a corner, which they're drying up pretty quick, or maybe somebody on that front four.
Yeah, and there's a few guys in the front. Braswell from Alabama is a good player. Jenkins from Michigan, did he go?
Chris Jenkins has not gone yet.
Yeah, you know, he's a pretty good player. I mean, there's some decent guys. Couple tackles. You got Sumatala from BYU. You've got Paul from Houston. I kind of like Paul, the kid from Houston. He's a good player.
On the offensive side of the ball.
On the offensive side of the ball. So there's some guys there besides just the corners. But I think Rakestraw and Tampa are pretty good players as well. So it's going to be one of those three, I think.
Let's do this. We're less than 10 minutes away, probably less than that, till the Jaguars make a selection. Let's step aside. That way, when the Jaguars pick, we'll have an entire 20, 25 minutes to break it down. Dylan Denmark is here. The head coach, Dave Campo, is here. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. The Jaguars are one pick away in the second round. The Giants are on the clock right now, and then it's Jacksonville with pick 48. What are they going to do? We'll tell you once it's announced there in Detroit, and then we'll certainly break it down. It's Hacker After Dark on a Friday night of the NFL Draft rolls on right here on your home of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
This just in on Hacker After Dark.
All right, Hacker After Dark on a Friday with the head coach, Dave Campo. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green, and they went to LSU last night to get Brian Thomas, a wide receiver. The Jaguars have gone back to the Bayou. 24 hours later, another LSU Tiger as defensive tackle Mason Smith is the second-round pick, number 48 overall, 6'5", 306 pounds. Good player, was a projected third-round pick on the NFL.com player profile. The one thing I remember about him, he had All-American traits after his 2021 year, and he blew his ACL in 2022, which I believe was the opener against Florida State, if I'm not mistaken. So I had to work an ACL somewhere in the Trent Baalke's draft. That seems to be a trend. This point. We're waiting on linebacker. Maybe that'll come in round three. I know people on social media, again, that's not everybody, but that's kind of the world we live in tonight, kind of lukewarm on Mason Smith out of LSU. Coach Campo, your thoughts on the pick?
Well, when all the prognosticators who really don't know what they're talking about, when they come out and say he's a third-round pick and he gets picked in the second, most fans are not going to be 100% happy with it. The thing I like about the guy is, number one, he's a big guy, physical guy, and he can move. Now, he wore number zero, which is a traditional pick for LSU as a freshman. So when he came in, he was a pretty darn good football player, and I think that the ACL probably had a little bit to do with this year, but in reality, the way they're taking care of ACLs today, a lot of times they come back with no difference at all. And so I'm counting on Nielsen, the defensive coordinator, D-line coach, I'm counting on him to know what he looks for in a inside defensive lineman, and so I'm hoping it's a good pick.
Again, his ACL was late August of 22, so right. It's been a while ago.
Correct.
He got 12 games this past year, former five-star recruit. I mean, he was obviously highly, highly coveted coming out of high school. And those LSU defensive linemen, more times than not, turn out to be pretty decent football players in the NFL. Again, people are going to see a round three projection on a couple of these websites and not like it. But thinking about from the roster, okay, we'll get the corner in a moment because there's questions about that now. But all of a sudden, you look on that defensive line, Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, Eric Armstead, Trevis Gibson, who nobody's talking about, he's also gigantic, with Roy Robertson-Harris, Devon Hamilton, Mason Smith, and Tyler Lacy. I'm not sure how good they're going to be, but they got some 300-pound behemoths on that D-line.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is going to be Hamilton. You know, does he come back to the way he got his contract after being, you know, having the illness or whatever he had last year? If he comes back ready to go, that's a pretty formidable group of guys. And I really think to really be good in there, and again, you're only going to be using two interior linemen now with a 4-3.
Yeah.
You know, the two outside guys are going to be stand-up guys. They're still going to be, you know, they may put their hand on the ground some, and they'll have their hands up some. So they're going to be, you know, a pretty formidable group. And I think in order to be good, they have to be able to rotate guys. And to me, it's an important pick to get a defensive lineman in there just to give them some depth.
What do the Jaguars know about corner that we don't? Because on the surface, we see Tyson Campbell, Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage. Campbell, good player when he's healthy. Darby has had ACLs and he's 30. Savage has never been a nickel full-time in his life. And then behind that, it's Gregory Jr. and Monteric Brown. And quite frankly, I'm stunned that they have not gone corner in one of the two picks. Terry and Arnold was there last night. They go wide receiver. Rakestraw, Tampa were there tonight. They go D-tackle. Obviously, they think they're a lot better at corner than we do.
Yeah, and I hope they're right.
Yeah.
And they also stood pat in the offensive line, basically. I'm hoping they're right. You know, that's the thing there. I always kind of defer to the coaches, because having been one all those years, we obviously knew a lot about our players that the general public and the media doesn't know. And so, you know, from my standpoint, if they haven't taken a corner yet, I'm surprised as you are. But, you know, there are some corners that might be okay in the third round. Sanra still is a nickel-type corner. If they're not 100% with the guy there, they may take a corner in the third round. I don't know. I'm just a little bit surprised as well.
So 6'5", 306 pounds. And look, I mean, Mason Smith's going to come into a situation where he's going to be able to not have to jump right in, right? He's going to be eased in to an extent. But you get to learn from Eric Armstead. You get to learn from Roy Robertson Harris. I mean, two veterans that have produced in this league for years and years and years. Thinking about Mason Smith, the player, again, he is the second-round pick, the defensive tackle out of LSU that the Jacksonville Jaguars just drafted. From his perspective, this is probably a great opportunity to come in and learn from a guy like Eric Armstead.
Well, I guarantee you that he's looking at it probably the way we are. He's automatically in the rotation. So if he's in a rotation, in my mind, he's a starter, okay? And that's what you want to get out of your second pick. That's what we didn't get last year. And so, you know, if you're one of those interior lineman guys, Roy Robertson Harris and Mason Smith are probably going to be the two backup tackles. And, you know, again, you know that Armstead is going to be a guy on third down for sure. So those other big guys are going to get an opportunity to play. There's no question.
See, and one of the things about Trent Baalke coming into this draft, and it's not rocket science, I'm not breaking any news there. You look, since he took over at GM, you look at his first-round picks. Pretty good. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Trayvon Walker, Anton Harrison. Devin Lloyd's probably the one outlier, although I don't think the verdict is out on him yet. Rounds two and rounds three have been bad. I mean, let's be honest, they've been bad. Particularly the last couple of years, Britton Strange, Tank Bigsby, Luke Fortner, Chad Muma. So I can tell you right now what people are thinking.
Absolutely.
Going defensive tackle in round two, and maybe Mason Smith works out. It's just surprising to me that that's the direction. I mean, I just mentioned front four, so I like the position. I just wonder, I mean, Chris Jenkins went right after him, the big defensive tackle from Michigan. I'm not smart enough to know who was a better prospect. I just have looked at a million mock drafts, and in 999,000 of those mock drafts, Chris Jenkins went before Mason Smith. So I think that's why people are probably upset tonight.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I've watched Michigan, and I've watched LSU, and the LSU defensive line is much more athletic than Michigan's defensive line. So I didn't specifically look at Mason Smith or Chris Jenkins. But all I can tell you is this guy's probably pretty athletic, because I watched the front in games, and watching those guys run around, they just look faster than Michigan. So, you know, in the 4-3, you want a couple guys in those 3 technique that can get up the field and make some things happen, and I think that guy will be able to do that.
We don't do this very often, but what the heck. Friday night of the NFL draft, let's open up the phone line. 641-1010 is the phone number. 641-1010. If you want to get in with your thoughts on Brian Thomas last night or Mason Smith within the last 20 minutes, a couple of LSU Tigers are making their way to Jacksonville, one at wide receiver, one on the defensive line. As the Jaguars, look, they draft a lot of SEC players. That's nothing foreign to them. Not a lot of teammates for first and second round. That's kind of unique that both, obviously, Thomas and Smith will have a relationship. But phone lines open, Jacksonville. If you want to get in, you are more than welcome to talk to the head coach, Dave Campo, and yours truly, Ryan the Hacker Green. We'll continue talking Jags. We'll look around the NFL, teams that have had the best drafts so far. Round two ongoing. Up in Detroit, we're about midway through round number two. The Jaguars go back to the Bayou to take defensive tackle Mason Smith. Your thoughts next. Friday night, NFL Draft, Hacker After Dark, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Hacker After Dark on 1010 XL.
With Dylan Denmark and the head coach Dave Campo, the hacker Ryan Green with you. The second round of the NFL Draft rolls on. Your latest pick, Zach Frazier, going to Pittsburgh, the center out of West Virginia. In fact, I believe A.D. Mitchell has just been drafted by Indianapolis. Goes to show you about these mock drafts. Mitchell was thought maybe to be 17 to Jacksonville. He's the 20th pick in round two to the Indianapolis Colts. So you got to be somewhat careful when you look at these mocks over and over and over for weeks and months on end. The Jaguars just recently took Mason Smith, defensive tackle out of LSU, a former five-star, 976 plays in 3 years due to injury. Did not play a lot of football, so there's a lot left in the tank, you would think. But again, I mean, I know who this guy is. It's not like, you know, Joe Blow something State U in Hawaii or whatever. I mean, this guy is a starting defensive tackle for the LSU Tigers, and he was one of the best players in the SEC in 2021 before the knee injury happened in 22. And he did start 12 games last year, so it looks like the knee injury is behind him.
One of the things that I really like about him is that he's 6'6".
Yeah.
Because we talk about not enough pressure from our inside guys last year, you know, against the quarterback, and too much pressure against our quarterback from the inside. You get your hands up and you're 6'6", all of a sudden you've got Armstead in there and this guy, that quarterback's not going to have a lot of area to throw the football.
All right, Jaguar fans, phone lines are open to you. The All-Pro Roofing phone line, 641-1010. If you want to talk to us, the head coach Dave Campo, the hacker Ryan Green, two LSU Tigers coming to town. Brian Thomas, the wide receiver last night. Mason Smith, the defensive tackle tonight. As it stands right now, Jacksonville has one more pick this evening, pick 96 in round number three. They are scheduled to have six selections tomorrow in rounds four through seven. To the phone lines we go. Let's kick it off with Bob tonight here on Hacker After Dark. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, and hey, Coach. How you doing?
Bob, we're good, man. How are you?
Hey, first of all, congratulations on your weight loss there, Ryan. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate that.
But getting into the football, I think Balky was quoted as saying that he could get quality offensive linemen in the fifth round, okay? My concern is this. You brought in this veteran at center, and obviously the guy that played the last 3 years, he's on the way out. So I'm concerned that they're not going to draft a center that can sit and learn behind this guy. And I think you also need a bulldog guard, a young guard, because our two guards are, you know, not long in the tooth, but they've had some years in the league, all right? So, and they probably need a tackle too, because the decision is going to have to be made on the two tackles that we have right now. I mean, our right tackle's good, but you know, who knows? You know, if they can't come to terms on an extension on our left tackle, then they're going to have to. I think they need to draft a tackle too.
Hey, Bob, appreciate the phone call. You and I, Coach, were talking about the offensive line earlier. Look, the starters are what they are in 2024. You know, wrap your mind around it. This is the starting offensive line. Cam Robinson's your left tackle. Ezra Cleveland, who they brought back on a pretty decent contract, is your left guard. Mitch Morse is your center. Brandon Sheriff is your right guard. Anton Harrison's your right tackle. Coming off the bench, you're going to have Walker Little as your swing tackle. You're going to have Luke Fortner, who's going to be on this roster. Maybe he's the guy that can learn from Mitch Morse. I don't think the entire book has been written on Luke Fortner yet. And then you re-sign Tyler Shatley. We'll see what happens there. People tend to forget about Cooper Hodges. Now, granted, he was a seventh-round pick, but they loved him in training camp last year. Loved Cooper Hodges. Then he had the injury in the preseason. Let's see what happens with Cooper Hodges when he comes back healthy. Could he be the eventual replacement for Brandon Sheriff? You also have Blake Hance. So I don't think they're good on the offensive line, Coach, but I think there are much more pressing needs on the roster than the offensive line.
Yeah, I think there's a need there because I watched him play. So I have a concern.
A need for a new starter?
Well, no, a need for somebody that's going to be a starter there eventually. And so that's probably what you're talking about. If you're talking about a lineman in the fifth round, he's probably going to be a future guy.
Like a Cooper Hodges.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I get a little concerned when you talk about the excuse that they didn't play together and this and that. Well, they didn't play together because Cleveland wasn't even on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, and they did not play well last year in the interior. And I don't know that necessarily that Morris is going to be the answer. You know, Sheriff is going to have to play better than he did a year ago. Cleveland is going to have to see – we're going to have to see the real Cleveland since he'll be there for the entire time.
I think the 50 pounds I've lost have turned me into glass half full instead of glass half negative.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you've known me as a glass half negative guy for many years. Cam Robinson was suspended at the beginning of last year, which kind of put everything out of whack on the left side. They had a turnstile at left guard. There was one game where Ezra Cleveland, I think, was here 3 weeks playing left guard, and he had to play left tackle due to another Cam Robinson injury. Anton Harrison was a rookie learning on the job. Brandon Sheriff was battling injury problems the entire year, and Luke Fortner was Luke Fortner. And I look at that offensive line, and yeah, that was bad. But now you know Cam Robinson's going to be their opening day. Knock on wood.
Yep.
Knock on a lot of wood. He's going to be their opening day. Ezra Cleveland is now known that he's going to be the starting left guard from now until September. You bring in a veteran in Mitch Morse. Brandon Sheriff, in theory, will at least start the year healthy. And Anton Harrison should be much better in year two than he started out in year one. Am I drinking too much positive Kool-Aid in those thought processes?
Well, I'm a half full guy myself.
Yeah.
I'm taking the benefit of the doubt with the coaches. They played okay 2 years ago. Not great, but okay. Last year they struggled, and you can use whatever you want. But when things don't go right, the first thing you do is fix it. And they've stood pat, in my opinion. I don't think Fortner was all of the problem. And we'll see. I mean, I'm hopeful that that's the case. But I don't know that we have enough dogs in that front. That's where I'm concerned. Like, one of the guys I really kind of like is still on the board is Cooper Beebe, the kid from K-State.
And you've been saying that for months.
Yeah, and I would have thought that he might be a pick at this spot. But the chances of him coming in and starting as a rookie are probably not as good as Mason Smith coming in here and getting playing time right away with that in that position. So that's where I'm kind of on. I'm hoping you're right with the offensive line. We're going to find out.
Phone lines are loaded, 641-1010, the All-Pro Roofing phone line. If you're on the line, we will get to you. Let's go to the south side. Let's get Matthew in here on this NFL draft Friday evening. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Can you guys hear me?
We got you loud and clear, man. What's on your mind?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for taking my call. First and foremost, Coach, thanks for being on. So I'm actually pretty optimistic in regards to the Mason Smith with the transformation into the 4-3 with 4.5 sacks or 4.5 tackles for loss with Mason Smith last year and 19 assisted tackles. So I know there's going to be a transition into that, but my question is for Coach, if obviously it's going to be a crush up the middle, where can we transcend and where do we need to get to on the outside of, Josh Allen?
Matthew, appreciate it. So the D-line now with Mason Smith in the fold, what does that do for Josh Allen? What does that do for Trayvon Walker when you combine Smith with, of course, Armstead, Hamilton, yeah, Roy Robertson, Harris?
Well, I think we're undercutting a little bit. And thanks for calling, by the way. I think we're undercutting Trayvon Walker a little bit here. You know, Trayvon Walker made great strides last year, and I believe he's going to be even better this year because the guy's a worker and he's smart and he's going to do whatever it takes. So really, I think the addition of Armstead for sure helps the outside guys because he's going to get some pressure. The rest is up for grabs. What Mason Smith is going to do, what Hamilton's going to do, Roy Robertson-Harris, if he's going to come back. He had a good year 2 years ago. Last year, not quite as good. Hopefully that will, that rotation will certainly keep guys fresh and help us.
Let me tell you, two D linemen we haven't really mentioned. I mentioned one of them in passing. Year two for both Tyler Lacy and Yasir Abdullah. Those were not good picks last year. Tyler Lacy was a fourth-round pick. Abdullah was a fifth-round pick. And you did not get very much out of either guy. Lacy at least played. Abdullah was a healthy scratch, like the last month and a half of the year. Could a year in the system, although they're switching things, obviously Caldwell out, Nielsen in, but what is your expectation, if any, for guys like Tyler Lacy and Yasir Abdullah?
Well, Abdullah, I think, is going to have a problem because, he was drafted as an outside linebacker, a smaller kind of a rush guy. If they can find a role for him, if he's going to be on the team, it's a third down role. If he gets better and he continues to, work his trade, that's where he's going to be. Now, Lacy, on the other hand, the jury's still out on him because he's got some talent. I think you just got to see where he is in relationship to all those other guys. He's going to have to compete because I think that, number one, this pick here is a second-round pick, Mason Smith. His pick was, fifth round? Was he the fifth or the fourth? He was the fourth.
Lacy was the second, fourth last year.
Fourth round, yeah. So I would like to think that Mason Smith is probably better than Lacy, but we'll see. It's going to be a competition. And I think competition makes everybody better.
One of the guys, too, that we haven't mentioned a lot is Trevis Gibson. You and I talked about him on Coaching with Campo on Hacker After Dark a few weeks ago. Bill Shuey was his coach in Chicago, I believe, in 2021. And he had 7 sacks. And he had 3 sacks in 22, went to Tennessee last year, had some injury problems, did basically nothing. But if that's Kalevon Chaisson's replacement, just on paper, which is all we can go on, Trevis Gibson is a massive upgrade over Kalevon Chaisson.
Absolutely. And I think that's why getting another pass rusher is probably not in the books. I think the pass rusher they got is Armstead. So that they can move guys around and do some things. And I think they're going to use Lloyd a little bit more in a rush game. I think this guy's going to do some things with getting some guys in positions where they can make some plays. I guarantee you that Gibson's a good football player. He's going to help this football team one way or another. I don't know where it is yet, but I think he's definitely the guy that they're looking at as maybe the third down rush end kind of a situation.
If you're just joining us, the Jaguars in round two select LSU defensive tackle Mason Smith, 6'5", 310 pounds, a former 5-star recruit, played for Brian Kelly in LSU the last couple of years, does have an ACL in his past. Florida State fans, you might actually remember that. It happened opening night 2022, that FSU-LSU game in New Orleans. He did come back last year in 23 and played a full 12-game season, so it appears the ACL is behind him. But your reaction to the wide receiver last night, Brian Thomas, and the defensive tackle tonight, Mason Smith, both LSU Tigers, both on their way to Jacksonville. Back to the phone lines. Let's get to Don in here on Hacker After Dark. Don, what do you got?
Hey, Hack, thanks for taking my call. I'm a little skeptical about wide receiver in the first round just because of our history. I hope it pans out. But I agree with Coach on Mason. You got a 6'6" guy in there. If he can't get after the pass rusher, he puts his hands up and he disrupts a pass by blocking a pass or whatnot. So I think it's going to work out great. And we got BB still on the board, so who knows what happens.
Don, appreciate it. Yeah, look, I said front four before they made the pick. I didn't know it was going to be Mason Smith. I remember hearing an interview with him, and you can speak to this obviously better than probably anybody in this city right now, outside of maybe Doug Peterson. Mason Smith did an interview with some website. I've listened to so many interviews in the last month. They all run together. But basically he said that he thought his best workout was with the Jaguar coaches. And he thought that he really shined when the Jaguars brought him in for a visit. And he just had a feeling. And this was before tonight, before they drafted him. I mean, sometimes players just know. And it seems like, at least in that interview, Mason Smith knew that he made an impression, at least, on the Jaguars.
Well, and, you know, again, I say that that probably was run by Nielsen, you know, the workout part of it. I'm sure they went to his pro day and they had somebody working them. And if that's the case, I think it's a good pick because, again, it sounds to me like he's a character kind of a guy, and that's what they're looking for. And he's got the size, and if he's got the quickness, that's where you want him, is in there at 6'6". That's tough to deal with.
And, again, you add him to Roy Robertson-Harris. Yeah. You add him to Devon Hamilton, Eric Armstead, Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen. They have some men on that defensive line of scrimmage. There is no doubt about that. Let's go over to Orange Park. His phone line's open at 641-1010. Let's get Kevin in here on Hacker After Dark. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm good, brother. How y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
One, I love the first pick. The wide receiver, great. Love it. Second pick, offensive lineman. Hey, I'm differential on that. I thought they should have went defense.
Well, no, they did. Mason Smith's a defensive lineman, defensive tackle.
Okay, fine. I'm a Saints fan, honestly. I'm default. My wife is a Jags fan, so I'm default by Jags fan. Okay, there it is. I love the Jags. I follow them. However, I don't know that they should have went that way. I really honestly think they should have went DB. And I'm torn by that.
Appreciate the phone call. No, I agree. And that's what, you know, Coach and I have been talking about. And we need to get more into that. And we're going to actually talk with the high school football coach of Brian Thomas, the young man the Jaguars drafted last night. We're going to go out to the state of Louisiana here in just a moment. But before we do that, back to the DB conversation for a moment. All right, there's five corners on this roster right now. Tyson Campbell is your surefire number one corner. Without a shadow of a doubt, he is your guy. As it stands right now, Ronald Darby is going to be another starter on this team. Is that a good thing? Well, that's the reality of the situation. Tyson Campbell's CB1, Ronald Darby is CB2. Darnell Savage appears to be the nickel, which was somewhat of a surprise to me when Doug Peterson made that statement at the NFL meetings, because I thought Darnell Savage was going to be a safety like he was at Green Bay. But no, apparently he's going to play nickel. And then after that, it comes down to Monteric Brown and Gregory Jr., and those are your five right now, with all due respect to other guys on the roster. If they go to opening day with those five corners, I will be shocked. Now, Xavien Howard from Miami, a former Pro Bowl player who's battled injuries, has just been medically cleared. Could they potentially be talking to him and we just don't know about it? What other corners on the street are available? Because at this point, you're not really going to find much help after round three. You can't rely on a fourth, fifth, or sixth round corner to come in and really contribute in 2024. So I almost think, Coach, they're going to bring a veteran in, and maybe they're talking to a veteran right now that we just haven't been made aware of yet.
Well, you know, I don't know that, but I've watched Darby, and I've watched Savage, okay? I'm more worried about Darby than I am Savage playing nickel, to be honest with you, because when you watch Savage, he doesn't look like a safety. He looks like a corner. He's a 4'3" guy that's good size. He's reminds me of Darren Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Darren Woodson was he was 212 pounds, 14 pounds, whatever he was. I don't know what Savage is, but when you watch him, he is smooth. You know, he looks like a corner.
Anybody that reminds you of Darren Woodson
exactly
is okay in my book.
Now, I don't know that he's as good as Darren Woodson now, but I'm talking about as far as his ability to play man-to-man on a wideout, that looks like he can do that. I mean, really, when I watch him.
And again, after that, Gregory Jr., Monteric Brown, we didn't get a large sample of those guys. Brown started the Thursday night win in New Orleans. Did anything either of those guys did last year give you hope for their long-term future here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think those were two good picks, to be honest with you, late-round guys, because Monteric played almost as much as anybody. I mean, you know, he's going to be in the mix just because of his now a year's experience. Gregory Jr. never really got to show what he could do. I mean, they didn't really put him in there enough to really get a feel for it. But there was talk that he was going to beat out Herndon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
that was going back to training camp last year.
Yeah. So I'm not dismissing either one of those guys, or else I don't think they are either, or else I think they would have taken a corner in my opinion.
And quickly to safety, Andre Sisco, you know what we have there. Antonio Johnson looks like he's going to be the new Rayshon Jenkins.
Yep.
Your thoughts on the two safeties?
I like them. You know, I think Sisco has not played yet to his ability. I think he's a better player than he's shown.
I bet he will this year because it's a contract.
Because
year.
It's it. Yeah, yeah, this is it. You either gear or gone. Right. And I like Johnson. You know, I mean, that guy's got some athletic ability, can tackle. The one thing that he does better than Savage, and it's a lot easier tackling at nickel than it is at safety because there's not as much open field. You're playing from an angle in a short area, right? Well, Savage was not a great open field tackler as a safety. Now, but I think as a nickel, that is not as big a deal. But he can blitz. He can do all those things. Johnson is a good open field tackler and looks like he's a very good athlete. So I think they've improved. I liked Rayshon because he was one of those guys that was kind of a baller. You know what I mean? Kind of like Cam Robinson. You know, you look at Cam Robinson, you say, he's the only guy that really had a little nastiness to him and a little chutzpah, whatever you want to call it. Well, Jenkins was that guy in the secondary, but he missed a ton of tackles because he was so aggressive.
And I think Jenkins started freelancing at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make some plays that he couldn't make.
Yeah, I think Jenkins started doing things. And look, he wasn't called out by name. But just go back and watch the Tennessee game. Watch the Cleveland game.
Oh, yeah.
Watch number two in
the
backfield. And he looked like he was in places that he was not supposed to be. A couple of more. We're at halftime on Hacker After Dark. We're with you till 10 o'clock. Chad Mahaffey is the head coach at Turner High School in Turner, Louisiana. He coached the Jaguar first-round pick Brian Thomas, his junior and senior years out there at Turner High School. And Chad Mahaffey, the head coach of Turner High School, will join us coming up in less than 15 minutes. To the north side, let's get Nick in here on Hacker After Dark. Nick, you're on with head coach Dave Campo and Ryan Green. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing today?
Nick, we're good, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm just going to be honest. How is this dude not fired 2 years ago? Like, this dude cannot draft. We could go all the way back to 2011 when he was with the 49ers. 30% of his first three picks never see a second contract. On top of that, at most of them are let go. Like, this was a complete reach. How do you let the Saints go and trade up and you don't make a move for corner? It was arguably one of our biggest needs after investing so much money into the wide receiver position. And I'm willing to accept getting Brian Thomas as for the in the first round. How do you not go and make a move and you make this reach? Like, I do not understand it. His process is flawed. Won't negotiate, like, this whole situation, and he doesn't negotiate during the season, won't give T-Law his next contract. Like, what are we playing around for? It just, everything for me, for Balky, it should have been fired 2 years ago.
Nick, appreciate the phone call, appreciate the passion. Here's my thing on Balky. Do I agree with everything that he does? No, far from it. I do think some people are too hard on him, and here's why. He inherited a dumpster fire of an organization. This team sucked when Trent Baalke took over for Dave Caldwell. Dave Caldwell is arguably the worst general manager in the history of the National Football League. And I'm not even remotely close to not saying that. I mean, you talk about Matt Millen. Dave Caldwell is on the ballot with Matt Millen as the worst GM in NFL history. So Baalke takes over a one-win team in 2020. He does get Trevor Lawrence. My Boston Terrier at home could have made that pick. I don't give him any credit there. They win three games in 2021. They've won 18 games the last 2 years, including a playoff win. All right? And I do think sometimes people lose sight of that. Is he bad at picking third-round players? Yeah, he probably is. Could he do better in round number four? Yeah, he probably could. But in that breath, He's brought in Foye Luikin. He's brought in Christian Kirk. He's brought in Zay Jones, when healthy, has been very good. He's brought in drafted Anton Harrison, who looks like he's going to be a stud at right tackle for the next decade. You know, you look at some of the other guys, Eric Armstead this offseason, Gabe Deming. Crush Balky for making bad third and fourth round picks. Yes, you're right. But he's not as terrible as some people try to make him out to be.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit harsh on him. You know, everybody has their own opinion on things. And I think frustration after the first year, frustration after the 9-8 and a playoff win and not going back,
yeah,
kind of gets everybody upset. You know,
what's funny about that, not to cut you off, but you're on the topic. If they beat Tennessee in week 18, they're 8-3 and they plummeted. They go to Tennessee at 9-7. If they somehow convert that fourth down and win the game in overtime and go 10-7 and are back-to-back AFC South division champions, one game, take everything else the same except they win in Nashville on January 7th. Are people upset with Balky? I don't think they are.
No.
How could you be for winning back-to-back AFC South championships?
Right. And to me, I think that, to be honest with you, and this is no reaction towards the gentleman that just called, because I understand frustration. You know, I was a head coach for 3 years. We were 5-11, 5-11, and 5-11. So I know what frustration
you were dealt a bad hand. You never got a quarterback.
But that's not the issue. It's the frustration.
Yeah.
And I can understand that, but you said it best. This team has been relevant 2 years in a row now, and they should be relevant again. So when I look at it, I look at it from the standpoint that, number one, the draft picks that he made last year that we're kind of kicking their tail, we don't know what they are. We'll know about Gregory Jr. this year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know about Johnson. We'll know about Bigsby. We'll know about Strange.
Tyler Lacy.
Lacy. So we can't just go, and here's the other thing. You win the game affecting the quarterback and protecting the quarterback. That's how you win games. I'm a DB coach. I love the corners. I'd love to have a corner. But I'm telling you right now, that's not just you just, oh, we need a corner in the second round that we don't have somebody else graded higher than the guys that are left. You know, you got to take the guy that's you feel going to help you this year win. Well, maybe, you know, there was no corner picked in the top 10 for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So even those guys, and you can say it's the quarterbacks moving up and this and that, but that's only two more than normally go. They don't take the corners. Where are those? Where's the Sauce Gardner? Well, if those guys don't go at the top of the draft, where are the guys that are everybody's looking at that's the second round? Maybe they're not in a position for us to take them in the second round. Maybe we have them graded in the third round. Well, somebody else might have them graded in the second round. But that doesn't make them right and us wrong. And I think that's what you have to look at.
No, that's a good point. You know, people are mad about Kool-Aid McKinstry going to New Orleans tonight. People are mad that these corners are coming off the board. Well, keep in mind, these corners are coming off the board in the middle to late part of round two. There's a reason they fell out of the first round. Maybe it wasn't as good a corner draft as we were led to believe. Now, we'll see, right? I mean, if the Jaguars, my biggest concern, can they survive with Darnell Savage, Ronald Darby, Tyson Campbell, Gregory Jr., and Monteric Brown? Perhaps. I still think they're going to add a veteran. You get a couple injuries back there and you're toast.
Yep.
But I think you could say that for any team. Any team that has, you know, two corners go down is probably toast. So it's a slippery slope. There's no question. Let's get one more in on this side. We'll open the phone lines back up after our conversation with the high school football coach of the Jaguar first-round pick, Brian Thomas. We'll go out to Louisiana, talk to Chad Mahaffey in less than 5 minutes. Let's go to Nocatee. Let's get Joe in on this side on Hacker After Dark. Joe, what's going on?
Hacker, what's going on, buddy?
How are you, my friend?
Doing great. I got to tell you, the Brian Thomas draft is questionable. I have to say, life is not measured on intentions. It's measured on results. And as we look at Trent Baalke and the entire picture, we continue to look at Jacksonville at the bottom of every category. 32nd after 5 years of looking at Baalke's entire body of work the Jags hit at the end of top three draft picks, 32nd in the league. And if you look at Brian Thomas and you say, hey, guy that takes a top off of defense, I agree. Maybe he stretches the field. Maybe he adds this dynamic that allows all of our underneath game to come to fruition. But we have got to look at corner. We have got to look at all the other draft picks that came across the board that we passed on. And yes, we got three additional draft picks. Hey, there's something to consider there. At the end of the day, Balky is on the hook. And
hey, Joe, real quick, let me ask you something. I'm genuinely curious. You're a Jaguar fan. You're obviously not a Trent Baalke fan. What about what I said earlier? First year, three wins after inheriting that absolute mess Dave Caldwell left him. And since three wins in year one, they've won 18 games and a playoff game in the last 2 years. Does he not get any credit for that?
100% he gets credit for that. And I agree with everything you said in this last segment. If they win the game in Tennessee and you got two back-to-back playoff berths, I think, you know, Balky's maybe looked at in a different light. But at the end of the day, our franchise has been set back by poor decisions on the day of draft day. And the best way to grow your talent is from within on draft. And you look at the franchises that are going to the AFC Championship, NFC Championship, you know, 3 out of 5 years, 4 out of 5 years. And there's not many out there, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, you have to groom from within. And Balky has not been able to, you know, produce on draft day. And so we look, he's done a fantastic job in free agency, I agree. And he has definitely elevated the franchise, but let's be real. Trevor Lawrence has elevated the franchise, and he has not played up to the expectation at times. As a guy who was a storied, you know, guy coming from Clemson and was going to be the guy that's, you know, a generational talent.
Hey, Joe, appreciate it, man. We got to move on, but I appreciate that. And I just want to get a vibe from the fan base, Coach, because, again, I think you and I are in agreement. And no, it's not because we're on the official Jaguar station and the Jaguars tell us what to say about Trent Baalke. I can't believe how many people actually think that. I don't think he's done as bad a job as some Jaguar fans would make you believe he's done. I just think they get really fired up when he drafts Chad Muma in round three, two rounds after Devin Lloyd. Nothing against Chad Muma, but I agree, that's a terrible pick. You drafted Devin Lloyd, and you draft another good player in Chad Muma who can never see the field. And it's like, here's the thing. To me, it doesn't matter some of the times what Baalke does. He re-signs Aluwakin. It's a great signing. Free agent re-signs Aluwakin. The day Aluwakin got that extension, I had people blowing up my social media, just up in arms about the Muma pick being wasted. Not celebrating Aluwakin
and
the job Baalke did, but looking at the negative. It's like Jaguar fans have to go to the most negative thing imaginable when it comes to Trent Baalke, and it's a shame it's gotten to that point.
Yeah, it's a frustrating situation. I think everybody's frustrated. I'll admit, I wasn't here for the majority of the bad years. The 3 years I was here as a coach, we won two playoffs, playoff victories in two of the 3 years.
You guys lost and things went to hell, Coach, is what happened.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because at the end of the year, during that last 5 out of 6 games, I was frustrated. And I wasn't here during the real frustrating years.
Man.
So I can see what the fans feel. But I think that they overreact quickly when you're in a situation. I also coached at Cleveland, and Cleveland fans are exactly the same. They're great on game day, but they are miserable because they're so frustrated with not doing what they need to do. And this year I was happy to see they did a few things.
Jaguars took Mason Smith, second round defensive tackle out of LSU earlier. They got one more pick left, number 96 in round number 3. That is the comp pick for the Jawan Taylor signing in Kansas City. Remember, the Jaguars' third-round pick went to Atlanta due to the Calvin Ridley trade, but they do have one third-rounder due to the comp they got from Jawan Taylor. So that's still coming up tonight, assuming they keep it. So Mason Smith tonight, let's rewind the clock 24 hours ago. Brian Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU, drafted number 23 overall, Let's go out to Turner, Louisiana. Chad Mahaffey was the head coach for Brian Thomas at Turner High School his junior and his senior year. Let's talk to a man that knows Brian Thomas and has known Brian Thomas since he was just a young, young teenager. Chad Mahaffey, the head coach of Turner High School in Turner, Louisiana, next on a Friday night NFL Draft edition of Hacker After Dark.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM in the city of Jacksonville, your home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last night, Brian Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU, became the first-round pick for the Jags, taken with the 23rd selection. Let's find out about Brian Thomas from a guy that coached him in high school. The head coach of Walker High School in the state of Louisiana is head coach Chad Mahaffey, and he joins us here on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Coach, how we doing?
Doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Coach, we thank you for the time. All right, Brian Thomas, you were his head coach for 2 years in high school, his junior year and his senior year. Let's talk about him. First and foremost, what did it mean to you last night to see one of your former guys get drafted in round number one?
Yeah, you know, our school, you know, Walker High School is a really good, you know, community-based school, and Brian's been a guy that's, you know, been well known, you know, for his athletic exploits for a long time, and I think the whole town, the whole community is excited to kind of see his success and see him achieve the things that he's worked for. So, you know, more than anything, just happy for Brian. You know, I mean, this is a great opportunity. I think with, you know, players going in the NFL, you know, you don't have control over where you're going, especially as a rookie, to be able to go to a team that's been succeeding, you know, on a high level, has got some recent playoff experience, got a great quarterback, got a great coach. I mean, I think from a football standpoint, that part is really, I feel fortunate for him, you know, that he's not going to a place that, you know, sometimes you feel like, man, they got a long way to go, you know.
The head coach of Walker High School in the state of Louisiana, Chad Mahaffey, here with us on 1010XL. You had Brian his junior year and his senior year. You were his head coach for those two seasons. When did you know, Coach, that something was special about Brian Thomas?
Well, I was at another school in Baton Rouge, and when I took the job, I had known about you know, him being a, you know, standout performer, and he had a great sophomore year. So I had, you know, obviously kind of aware of that before making that move, but I mean, it, you know, doesn't take a whole lot of, insight to see the kid out there running around and doing the things he was doing. He was an outstanding basketball player. I think the year I came, they ended up making it to the state finals, and they had won the state championship before, where he was the MVP of the tournament as a freshman. So I got to see him on the basketball court before I saw him do any football things, and you could just see the explosiveness, and definitely exciting to get to work with him.
Now, we see the 4.33 speed at the combine. We see the size. Tell us about the player. What kind of player is he? What did the Jaguars get last night when they drafted Brian Thomas?
Yeah, I think he's just got a really unique skill set, you know, a big guy, just explosions kind of the one overriding characteristic, I would say. And he's really very physically strong. You know, that's the other thing that stands out. You know, a lot of times wide receivers, you know, maybe a little slighter, you know, maybe not the most physical guys, but, you know, and he can be a really great physical presence on the outside as a blocker, but also just something, you know, when he goes up for a football, I think he's generating, you know, so much force. You just see the other DBs sometimes just kind of fall down with him. You know, they have a hard time getting up to the level where he's at because of his strength and explosion and, you know, just a really unique skill set. And then the other thing I think Brian, you know, always had, you know, a lot of times these tall guys, you know, they're kind of, you know, straight speed, you know, you might see, but he had a lot of wiggle and run after the catch. He was a great punt returner for us, you know, in high school as well. So I think for a tall guy, to have some of that run after catch ability is pretty unique as well.
Couple of more for head coach Chad Mahaffey of Walker High School out there in the state of Louisiana. He was the head coach for Brian Thomas, Brian's junior and senior years there in high school. Coach, the Jaguars always talk about character, right? They want to bring good guys into the locker room. There was a time here in Jacksonville where that wasn't necessarily the case, and Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke always make a point of wanting not only to bring in the good players, but the correct players for what they're trying to build here. Brian Thomas as a person, how would you describe him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he comes from a good family environment, you know, with his mom and dad. And I think they've, you know, definitely instilled the, you know, the kind of no-nonsense, you know, character in him. You know, I don't think he's a guy you've got to, you know, worry about that is really out seeking the limelight or the attention or a lot of things outside of football. I think he, you know, just enjoys, you know, competing and, you know, doing the things, you know, on the field that he's supposed to do. And so I think you get a guy that's, you know, not going to, like I say, draw attention to the team in a negative light because of off field things. He just really pretty quiet, shows up, goes, does his work. And then again, he got a really, you know, good competitiveness, you know, when the lights come on. And I think you see that emotion come out of him on the field at those times.
Coach, as we begin to wrap up, when's the last time you spoke with him? Are you going to talk to him in the near future? Does he get back to Walker High School very often? Obviously became a big star at LSU this past season.
Yeah, you know, we're only the school's about 25 minutes from LSU's campus. So, you know, he's back and forth at, you know, games, basketball games and stuff like that, especially in the off season for them. So, still definitely a guy that's come around. And, you know, I know this is all this pre-draft and all this kind of thing has been a hectic time. Had texted with his dad earlier this week about something else, and I've kind of learned that, you know, that these guys are getting hit from all kind of angles right now. So probably give it a few days and try and reach out and just, you know, tell him congrats again and think he's got a great situation there to go to in Jacksonville.
Head coach Chad Mahaffey of Walker High School out there in Louisiana. He was the head coach for Brian Thomas, Brian's junior and senior years in high school. Brian was drafted 23rd overall last night in round number one by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Coach, we'll say hello to Brian for you when we see him at the press conference, and thank you for joining me on short notice, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Yep, not a problem, and you know, appreciate it. Appreciate you giving us a call.
There you go, Chad Mahaffey, the head coach for Brian Thomas during his high school career. And I always like doing that. You know, it's nice to talk to a high school coach that had a young man at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. I think they kind of maybe even know a little more than the college coaches that get them. And to shed a little light on Brian and the kind of guy he is, the great basketball player that he was. By the way, that's 3 years in a row, the Jaguars in round number one have taken football players that were also basketball players.
Right.
Trayvon Walker and Anton Harrison,
right,
the same thing. So you kind of see a trend there with Baalke. But it is cool to talk to those high school coaches because you can tell it really means a lot to see their kids grow up to be drafted in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, I a lot of it, it gives them a little recognition, and I think they deserve it because they're part of the development. And he made an interesting point when he said that his explosiveness and everything, when he goes up for a football, it's hard for DB to come down with him and come back, come out with the ball. And that's basketball. That's the kind of athlete you're getting is a guy that's explosive and can go over the top of the rim. And that's, you know, there's not a lot of those guys around either.
And the one thing after that pick, and you had the Gabe Davis signing to this, what did we talk about with the Jaguars last year? Even when Ridley was out there, they're not doing anything longer than 10 yards down the field.
Right.
They're running 5-yard button hooks and 3-yard hitches. Well, now all of a sudden, with Gabe Davis and with Brian Thomas, you're going to have guys running down the field, which should open things up immensely for Evan Engram and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, it backs people off. I was talking to Aaron Beasley last night, and I said, "Bees, are you concerned when you line up against a guy that's 4'3"? And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "I get real nervous." And he was a great player. So, you know, I think that there's something to that. I also think that that's why I wanted an offensive lineman, because I think the pressure forces those 10-yard routes too a little bit. We got to be able to protect that quarterback, and he can get the ball down the field to those guys.
Quickly, because I want to get back on Mason Smith when we come back. Zay Jones' future, probably in serious question now after the Brian Thomas draft.
Well, I think we should keep him right up until the end of training camp, you know, because when he's healthy, he's still part of the equation. I think that probably if this guy does as quickly as hopefully he does, that might be a casualty. I hope not, because I think Zay brings something to the table as well.
It's funny. Well, I shouldn't say it's funny. It's an interesting dilemma. I would love to have Zay Jones here. Yeah. I think this team is better with Zay Jones, and he's not costing all that much money.
Correct.
But when you're a fourth wide receiver, which is probably what Zay Jones would be, you got to play special teams, yeah, right? I mean, absolutely. Zay Jones ain't playing special teams.
Right.
So it might come down to a number issue just because of that.
Right. And you got DuVernay.
Yeah, Devin DuVernay, yeah.
He's going to be the special team's fifth receiver or whatever, probably.
And then so, Parker Washington is probably Parker in the mix, Washington. Too.
Yep.
So it's a numbers game at wide receiver.
Yep.
There is no question about that. 30 minutes to go. Jaguars take Mason Smith out of LSU. Some grades have come in on that pick. Got one from Bleacher Report, got one from USA Today. Some varying opinions, actually, on the Mason Smith draft pick. We'll get into those next. Dave Campo, the Hacker, Ryan Green, Dylan Denmark. Round two of the NFL draft rolls on. In fact, we're on the doorstep of round three. The Jaguars do have a third-round pick, but you better stay up late. You better get the coffee. They're still about 35 picks away from making that selection. It's probably a good 90 minutes away at least. But they will get another player tonight unless they trade out. We're with you till 10 o'clock. Jaguars again, the 96th pick coming up in round number three. Hacker After Dark with you till 10 o'clock on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM.
This is Hacker After Dark on 1010XL.
Yes, it is. With the head coach, Dave Campo, the hacker, Ryan Green. Got to go kind of quick. We got caught away in that 32-minute segment we did earlier, but that's what happens when the coach and I are talking ball on a Friday evening. All right. 2 or 10, Denmark?
You can go 10.
Ah, wow. Okay, very
we
good.
We got 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes
We got
here.
A lot of chop up
All
in
right.
that time.
So I'm looking at grades for Mason Smith, the second-round pick for the Jaguars that they took at the 48th selection. Fans here are unhappy. CBSSports.com, Chris Trapasso, good friend. I have him on a bunch. I trust him and his analysis. I've had Chris on for years. This is what he says about Mason Smith. Highly touted recruit who dealt with injuries and never quite met hype in college. Tall, sleek interior player who flashes that big recruit talent at times, just not ultra consistent. He will not be limited athletically in the NFL. His rushes, however, do get too far high, which zaps his power. Nice arm over, but that's really his only move. This does, however, fill a need. He gives it a B-. All right. I mean, a B- from CBS. USA Today gave it a B-. Some websites did not give it a B-, gave it a little lower than that. But again, opinions are eyebrows, I guess.
Yeah.
Most of us have eyebrows. So the opinions are going to vary depending on your opinion of this selection.
Yeah, to me, I just can't wait to see, because, I watched LSU's defensive front, and I didn't know this was when I wasn't necessarily looking at anybody. And I know that they're athletic,
yeah,
all of them. And so it's going to be interesting to see what he does.
All right, 7 picks left, 3rd round tonight, and then they have 6 selections tomorrow. We are in agreement at some point an offensive lineman's name is going to be called. We're in agreement at some point a corner or two's name will be called. What about anything else from tight end to linebacker? I think Trent Baalke, it's a rite of passage. He has to draft a linebacker at some point in the draft. A safety, I don't know. I mean, 7 picks, they can't all be corners or offensive linemen. They're going to address other positions, and I'm curious, Coach, what you think those positions may be.
Well, first of all, you have to have extra corners in your roster during training camp. and receivers, because those are the guys that pull muscles and get some situations. So I could see them, you know, continuing with some late round picks that you never know what's going to happen. To me, I think they might take another take a couple of offensive linemen. They may take a couple of defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that those are the areas. I don't think they're going to go with a tight end. They got five in there with the kid they just got from the international.
Yeah, that's true.
Deal. So it might take a running back. I mean, because, you know, the jury's out on Bigsby.
That's another Trent Baalke one. He likes to take his running backs in the draft.
And that's possible. So,
and it's a different world from when you were a head coach, because you have that 16-man practice squad.
Correct.
I mean, that is a vastly different world. You had a 5-man practice squad.
Correct.
So now anybody you draft, or an overwhelming majority, at very worst, they're going to be on the practice squad.
Correct. And I think that they obviously they got to fill a 90-man roster or whatever it is. And so, you know, I think that they might have some people they like in the rounds, and maybe they won't use all six of those tomorrow. Maybe they'll move around and give up some to get somebody, and we'll see.
641-1010, a couple of people on the phone lines. We'll open them back up here for the last 10 minutes or so of the program. If you want to get in, let's go up to Atlanta. Let's get Eric in here on Hacker After Dark. Eric, what do you got?
Hacker, love the show. I want to give a shout-out to my fantasy football league back in Jacksonville, Cats Against the World. One of my buddies just got married, just had a kid. I'm really pumped up about the Smith pick. I think he's really got to compliment Allen and Walker and all the other guys they're bringing in. We're going to have a great defense this year, going to stop the run and really earn the right to rush the passer. Thank you very much.
Eric, appreciate it. Love the positivity there. That's good stuff, because there are a lot of people that are not positive about this selection. And again, I don't hate it. I'm still trying to process it. I remember you and I sat in this studio last year, and in round two last year, they drafted Brenton Strange. And I'll be honest with you, I had studied a lot on tight ends going into last year. I didn't have a clue who Brenton Strange was. You may remember my reaction when
absolutely.
Brenton Strange got drafted.
Listen, I didn't know anything about him either, to be honest with you.
So the Mason Smith pick tonight, this guy was a 5-star all-freshman SEC player. And then the knee went in 2022, and it looks like he wasn't the same guy in 2023. That, you know, when people talk about issues with Baalke, that's one for me. Well, he has a thing with guys coming off ACLs, man. Now, I know maybe that drops them down the board, and maybe they should have gone higher if not for the ACL, but it seems like every year he drafts a guy with a knee injury in their past. Yeah. And I just don't get the logic in that, doing it every year.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Cowboys went through that during the drafts for the group they have right now. Two of their linebackers, the kid from Notre Dame.
Oh, Jaylon Smith.
Yeah, and he ended up playing very well for him for a few years. I don't know how great he was, because I wasn't paying that much attention.
He's the poster child for why college athletes do not play in bowl games any longer.
Right, he got hurt in the
bowl
game.
Yeah, in the Fiesta Bowl.
Right, and they did the same thing with one of the linebackers we had back in the day, and they ended up playing very well, and they got them for a lot higher than they would have gotten him for had they taken him if he was healthy. They would have gone much higher. So that's just a philosophy, I think. And with the doctors they have today, I don't – you know, an ACL, Frangie had a guy on today, an orthopede, and they were talking about the injuries that really are big. And the guy said basically with the things they got now with the ACL – it's not even an issue.
976 snaps for Mason Smith in his college career. He just didn't play a whole lot.
Right.
I mean, if you're Ryan Nielsen and you're the perfect person to talk to, you've been on the defensive side in the NFL for years. I mean, how do you mold him? And I mean, it's kind of like Anthony Richardson on the offensive side for the Colts. Guy just didn't play a lot in college. Mason Smith hasn't played a lot in college.
Yeah.
If you're an NFL coach, how do you mold that clay into what you hope it becomes?
Well, first of all, you got to have a good coaching staff. And I think that one of the problems they had on defense this year was that they didn't have the guys that they needed. I think Nielsen is a defensive line coach. So if he liked them athletically, I'm going to defer to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, if they looked at him, if anybody was going to make a choice, I would go with a defensive coordinator that's a D-line coach making a pick for the first group that he's going to be involved with here in Jacksonville.
Take us into the war room right now. Round two coming to an end. Round three, the Jaguars are still 25, 30 some odd picks away. But again, they have seven selections left. You do your press conference with Mason Smith, and you make that phone call, and then you got to zero back in on one more pick tonight. You come back at noon tomorrow. You have six selections. What's kind of the process going into the late hours tonight? I'm assuming they're back dawn tomorrow morning to get ready for a very busy day.
Well, first of all, it's the people that are going to make the final decisions that are going to make the final decisions. So what happens is, if there's areas that they're looking at that they want to get one more talk about before they make that pick, they'll have those assistant coaches come in, but the guys that are the decision makers are going to be talking a lot about, you know, grouping guys and doing all that kind of stuff. And what are we going to do if we have to stay where we're at? Who are we going to, you know, target out of this group? And we're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're probably going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. If one's gone, it's going to be two. If it's two gone, it's three.
And you made a good point, and this was me, but I think you were on the same page. I said last night, or Wednesday night, on Hacker After Dark, the first five picks are in their top 116. I said, in those five picks, get me a wide receiver, a corner, an offensive lineman, and a defensive lineman. What have the Jaguars done in two of those first five picks? They've gotten me a wide receiver, and they've gotten me a defensive lineman. It's hard for me to be upset. Correct. If you get me a corner and an offensive lineman in two of the next three picks, again, my needs aren't the end-all, be-all gospel,
right,
but I'm not going to be a hypocrite either. They will have met my criteria, what I thought the Jaguars needed to do.
Yeah, yeah, there's no question about it. But, again, they have to be the right guys, too.
I agree.
But I'm okay with the first two picks right now. I'm going to really take a good look at Mason Smith here in the next day or so just to get a real good idea. But I'm telling you that I'm going to defer to the D-line coach on that one.
Let's get one more call in tonight. Oh, let's go out to Baton Rouge. How about this? This is where the Jaguar picks have come from, both in round one and round two. Let's get Matt in here. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. You can call me. I'm from Baton Rouge, but I actually live here in Ponte Vedra.
Oh, you're from Baton Rouge. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny. I won the little draft special earlier. I'm getting a special jersey by 1010.
Congratulations.
But I got to call back in because I'm an LSU fan. And here's the deal on Mason Smith. Okay. And by the way, Brian Thomas Jr., golden. We're good.
Yeah, I like the Brian Thomas pick. I have no
We're
issues
totally
with that.
Totally good, guys. Yeah. So Mason Smith, like, he is a serious talent. The key is Baton Rouge was a mess on defense this year, LSU. And, you know, there were some serious issues. I'm curious how Matt House is maybe tied into this also, now that he's on the Jags staff.
And he was the DC at LSU part of the time that Mason Smith
correct,
was there. Yep.
Correct. So I think there's some connection there, just so you guys know. So I just wanted to give that insight. But I think as a talent, Mason Smith is solid. He is physically incredible. So if they can get it out of him, I would think Matt House would be telling Nielsen, this is our guy. So that's how I think this probably happened.
Yep.
Hey, Matt, appreciate the phone call. Again, 6'5", 310-pound, five-star recruits don't come around the corner very often.
Right.
And Mason Smith was one of those guys. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on it. We'll preview tomorrow. We'll preview the third-round selection coming up later tonight with the head coach, Dave Campo. The Hacker, Ryan Green, with you. One segment to go. Hacker After Dark, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's Hacker After Dark on 1010XL.
Putting the finishing touches on a Friday night edition of Hacker After Dark. We'll, of course, be back on Monday at 8 o'clock to recap everything that goes on with the draft so far. First round pick, Brian Thomas, wide receiver, LSU last night. Tonight, the Jaguars have gone back to the Bayou to draft defensive tackle Mason Smith out of LSU. Jaguars have the 96th selection in round number three. They are scheduled to have six additional picks tomorrow, nine in total. Quickly, and we alluded to this earlier, Coach, the trade back last night, not only do they get Brian Thomas, to get a third and a fourth round pick next year, Man, I thought that was ridiculously good value for the Jaguars. And I think they might have fleeced Minnesota on that a little bit.
Well, I saw somewhere where Jimmy Johnson's, going back to Jimmy Johnson's chart, that it was a fleecing.
Mm-hmm.
But with the new charts they have out, they said it was about 50-50, even Steven.
And so, if the Jaguars really were going to take Brian Thomas at 17,
yeah,
and that's what they said, you take him at the words, what they said,
yep.
Well, you get your guy, you get an additional fifth, and you get a third and a fourth next year. So now, presumably, you already have six picks in the top 120 next draft.
Absolutely. That's good.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
That's a lot of good capital. And the other thing that you look at is if one of the corners had gone prior to when they made the pick,
mm-hmm.
okay, you would have said that he made a mistake, right? They would have said, even though you took Brian Thomas, you would have said, oh, we were going to take him anyway, because the corner you wanted was gone.
Yeah.
But with them not gone, you have to say that that's probably the guy they targeted from day one.
And what I like is Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold, the other two guys that were being talked most about, and you could throw Jared Verse into that, they all went to the NFC. You only have to see them once every 4 years anyway.
Correct.
So, you know, by the way, Philadelphia, Quinyon Mitchell and DeGene from Iowa.
That's a pretty good group.
And then it was Nate Wiggins to Baltimore at the end of round one. And then you had Detroit get Rakestraw from Missouri and Terrion Arnold from Alabama. So a lot of corners. Coach, I can't thank you enough. This has been like 1010 XL Campo today. I know you sat in on primetime in here with us tonight. He's our head coach. Thank you as always. Yep. We'll review the draft in a week or two.
Very good. It's always great to be with you, Hack. You know I love it.
He is the head coach. He's our head coach. He's Dave Campo. Dylan Denmark was your producer. I'm the Hacker, Ryan Green. Jacksonville, enjoy the rest of the draft tonight. Enjoy a full day of draft tomorrow. And by the way, go Orlando Magic. Game 4, Orlando-Cleveland in the NBA playoffs. I'll be locked in. I'll be going back and forth at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We'll be back Monday. We'll review the draft. Looking forward to it. Have a great weekend, Jacksonville, for all of us here on Hacker After Dark. Good night, everybody.